We are back. Welcome in to the Bearcast on sikkim365.com. We are sponsored by WellMed Medical Management. Things are going to be a little different, but Colt and I will have guests from Sikkim 365 each week to discuss the hot topics in Baylor sports. Our hope is to bring you the best coverage of as many Baylor sports as possible with focus on football and basketball. The layout will be a little bit different. Instead of 1 hour on Tuesdays, we'll be posting multiple throughout the week and a special premium episode for our Sikkim365.com subscribers. Let's dive in. Today, we are talking key takeaways from Baylor's spring football, which concluded on Saturday with Baylor Blitz. Colt, glad we're doing this again. Glad you're back on the Bearcast and excited to go through these takeaways. Take it away and then give me your first takeaway whenever you're ready.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited to get back into the groove. Obviously, since football season, I've been a little bit absent on this, but I guess in general, the Bearcast has been around. So we're kind of just picking up where y'all left off a few weeks ago. And I'm really pumped to do this, kind of be more centric, more of our voice being heard every single day for the most part is our goal. And we don't want to say it's going to be every single day, but we're going to record a lot of episodes on a lot of topics to really dive in deep to Baylor sports. And really excited to get to talk to everyone about these, answer questions, mailbags, et cetera. It should be a lot of fun with you and I doing this together. So yeah, spring takeaways, man. What a interesting spring. Because we know all the changes that are happening. You talk about transfer portal was the first part, NIL. Now we're getting into revenue share, and it's making people really rethink how spring is approached, because we just saw almost the last day of spring football, you have a big portal entry and Brennan Bett hitting the portal for Baylor and a guy that you thought was going to contribute. But now it goes back to you refocus of how do we prevent those things from happening in the future. I think Baylor handled it pretty well. And the idea of let's run spring right up to the close of the spring portal and not allow much time. Baylor had some guys go in that realized, hey, we're probably not going to play. That's good attrition in a lot of ways. But what we saw last week with Brennan Bett, that's not good attrition. But in general, the takeaway for me is just how do you approach these things? Baylor was really cautious with injuries, giving up too much of maybe some young guys to make public what these guys are doing. But in general, you have an investment in players now, a monetary investment. And the last thing that you want to do is get them injured in the spring. I think back to two springs ago when you had Jarrell Boykins there and you think he's going to be a stud for you in the fall. He starts getting banged up early. Trey Emery's banged up. And those were ended up being key pieces. Now you're saying let's string this out as long as we can through the summer and into fall before we start getting these guys a ton of contact potential for injuries. And every single practice, every single opportunity that Baylor had, guys were missing time. And I think truly that's protecting an investment. I don't think there's anything that's just major concerns. There are some that might linger a little bit further. But in general, I think my biggest takeaway is just saying, hey, we're going to protect these guys until the fall. We have hands-on opportunities in the summer as well to develop them. But we're spending too much money, especially with revenue share out of the athletic department beginning this summer, essentially. Like, we can't continue to do this and risk guys getting injured and then not being available for the fall.
Right. And I mean, that's definitely a big takeaway, the injuries. And yes, like you mentioned, a lot of guys sat out, a lot of guys missed time this spring to make sure they didn't suffer something that was more severe, but there were still, you know, quite a few kind of significant injuries. And I mean, the last one came during Baylor Blitz with Devin Turner getting injured. So very curious kind of what the outcome is there. We don't quite know yet, but that one was obviously a little scary. Both running backs missed time, Bryson Washington, Dawson Pendergrass, Taz Williams. He went out there the entire camp with a yellow jersey on, but they were being cautious with him for the most part. And yet he shows up at Baylor Blitz and he's doing all the one-on-ones and taking a little bit of contact and fighting through it. So yeah, you know, there was a lot of that, you know, holding out Michael Trigg for a lot of camp was part of that. And there's multiple guys, the list goes on of guys they held out. And I think you're exactly right. It was a very smart decision by Baylor to do that. You can't afford to lose guys to injury. You can't afford to lose a substantial amount of guys. And Baylor was able to avoid that. Now, something else they're able to avoid, and you hit on it a little bit at the top, and it was going to be my first kind of takeaway here. It's that the transfer portal, you know, it's one of those things that's changed a lot of things, and it's centered around tampering. and the fact that tampering is rampant around this sport right now. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, cry about it, because right now there's no punishment for doing it. So there's really not anything that you can say to say, oh, that's illegal or whatnot, but it's bad for the sport. There's no doubt about that. And so I think when you see something that happened with Brendan Bett, where he enters the portal, immediately takes an official visit to Florida and signs with Florida, becomes
no coincidence there at all.
Zero coincidence. and that's one of those things where it's tough to see that, right? Because they really liked Brendan Bett. He's a guy who they expected to have 400 plus snaps this year and be a huge part of their defensive line as a rotational piece behind Jackie Marshall and Cooper Lands. So you lose him, but in general, Colt, they avoided it. And when I tell you they avoided it and came away, it could have been terrible. I mean, it's really hard to kind of dive too much deeper than that. But I would say that if you were really excited about a Baylor player this year, or felt like that Baylor player was going to have a big season, most likely there was some sort of tampering going on. And so Baylor being able to avoid that and keep the roster together was more important than anything they could do in the transfer portal this spring. That was the focus. That was the thing that they had to do. And they were able to do that. I mean, outside of Brendan Bett, they really didn't lose anyone that I would say was bad attrition. The rest was very good attrition. Now this team, the core of it, is still very much together and looking forward to having a really strong season. And I think that also speaks to the optimism amongst the players on the team that they wanted to stay and kind of go out as a team and go out and try to finish what is a very hyped up season already.
Yeah, it is. And it's the management of the spring is so much different now. And that's kind of where I was going with that in my original point. It ties into exactly what you're talking about. You're managing so many different aspects now. I mean, you're talking about contracts. You're talking about payment opportunities in terms of when they're being paid. If players want to negotiate, which I don't know if Baylor's really done that in terms of negotiation in the middle of a contract, but you're going to have to. If teams are coming in and tampering and guys come to the coach and say, hey, this is going on, I'm not naive to believe that there's not that opportunity to negotiate at times. That's not what they want to do. And that's pretty frustrating. And it's really interesting with Brendan Bett. This is a guy that was academically ineligible to play last year, and he's still being tampered with. And there's no guarantees that I think from everything we have heard, he's on track to be fine for the fall. And obviously at this point in the spring, you would kind of know, but he still has to get through a summer, because up until the beginning of fall camp last year, the expectations were unclear about him. And then they finally started figuring out he's not going to be eligible to play. So for Florida to, you know, hypothetically, if that is Florida tampering, which it would make sense, he is a guy that wasn't even eligible last year to play. And that kind of shows you the depths that teams are going to take. Now, house settlement, all those things that are coming into play moving forward could prevent that. I have a piece coming out on Wednesday of this week, actually, that's talking about, you know, what that looks like, the changes with the house settlement. So if you're not a Sikkim 365 subscriber, hop on there and read it. It will be behind a paywall, just kind of giving my thoughts and perspective on it. But like it has to change. And I don't want this is supposed to be about Baylor football, spring football, but like, this is crazy. The only people that this stuff benefits are the ones that are taking advantage of it, that have deep pockets. And if you love college football, you don't want this. You don't want this from a macro or micro standpoint. They have to have rules in place to avoid situations like this. And it's just a monopolization if you don't have guardrails for this stuff. The teams, you know, the rich get richer at that point. So, I'm with you. For Baylor to avoid speaks to the culture of Dave Aranda and what he has created. And that goes back truly through all of the ups and downs that they've had since 2021. This program could have just completely fallen apart, but you have to give Dave Aranda credit for riding the ship, taking control, getting back on track last year. But then he reemphasized his culture this offseason, because he had great example, Sawyer Robertson. How many programs would have loved to have him as their quarterback for this next year? And he's still in Waco. He will and did get paid. He's going to have money coming in from Baylor, but there's teams that were going to be willing. But players want to play for Dave Aranda. And I think what we saw through this spring absolutely epitomizes his culture that he has built, and you just hope it can continue.
It's in the DNA. Yeah. And I mean, it's been in the DNA of the program. I mean, even when they were having really bad years, like the 2023 year, there wasn't this mass exodus that a lot of people were trying to say was going to happen to this program. And it didn't. And then it didn't happen again this, you know, this time around, where you have a bunch of walk-ons entering the portal, you know, guys who weren't going to have an impact on the team. And so, yeah, I think that it's something that's really special about what Dave Aranda has built. And I think it's something really special about where this program is at the moment. All right, Colt, do you have another takeaway that you want to get to?
Nothing specific. I think it would go to Sawyer Robertson. And, yeah, and that's just a general statement. But when's the last time that Baylor's had a quarterback coming off a season like that that's returning? I mean, you could point to Charlie Brewer after 18 going into 19, or really, I guess, maybe 19 going into 20, but then there was a coaching change. But everything aligns right now with Sawyer Robertson, the leader of the team, the offense with Jake Spavadal. There's not many programs in the country that can kind of lean into saying, look at everything we return. He goes through the full spring, no drama, nothing like that. That is massive for the stability of this program. And truthfully, maybe as much as Dave Aranda's culture, the team looks at that and they say, hey, our dude's coming back at quarterback. And Sawyer's, that is a massive leader statement to be done with that, to not have any issues with it, to be committed to the program. And he's getting paid. There's zero doubt that Baylor is going to be competitive in the payment for that. But it could have been a lot of drama and we didn't see it. And I think that from your leadership standpoint at the quarterback position of a guy that's returning that threw for 3,000 yards in basically 11 games, started games, you don't get that around the country. You see quarterbacks moving everywhere. And we just saw it at Tennessee. I mean, that particular move is nuts. And Tennessee wasn't even willing to do what the kid wanted them to do. So Baylor has stability at quarterback. And I think that's throughout the spring. Hopefully he's healthy as he gets into the summer, but that's my storyline. It's like, if you have that in college football right now, that's massive. And Baylor has it.
Absolutely. And you want to talk about a guy who had just this super loud national media talking about him leaving. And I mean, it was from the moment that Baylor season ended. I mean, you had guys just throwing stuff at the wall saying, oh yeah, you know, Jake Spavital and Sua Robertson are going to Oklahoma. Yeah. Okay. That's super just, all right, we're just guessing here. And then the Tennessee thing happens and you just see people all over Twitter. Oh, Sua Robertson is one of like four names of people that are, you know, very interested in the Tennessee job. And then you look over at who Tennessee got and you're like, was anyone really that interested in leaving? I don't know. I think it's a weird timing thing. I think people are just trying to make up storylines, but Baylor, they invested in their guy. And for him to have this full spring where he's unquestionably the guy, he acted like a leader. I think I think the blueprint for this program definitely needs to be centered around your quarterback being a leader. And I think that is very important. And Sawyer is definitely that. That gives me a lot of hope that this team's going to have a very successful fall when you have a quarterback like that. Need him to stay healthy, but they've really built this team around him. They have a great offensive line, bunch of receivers who have taken steps forward, a bunch of new guys as well to try to take this offense to another level, an elite group of running backs. I mean, everything's there for Sawyer to have just this massive season. I saw Matt Miller, who's the NFL draft scout for ESPN, was already talking about Sawyer potentially being a draft pick in 2026, which I do think is very likely at this point. He's definitely going to get drafted. I don't know where, but it definitely seems like he's trending in that direction. And who knows, with the big fall, maybe something else takes off there. But I do think it's important to mention, like you said, when the guy at the top is so solidified and bought into the program, it trickles down to the rest of the guys in the program. So the last takeaway that I had, Colt, was kind of just this idea of, you know, what does Baylor need out of the transfer portal now? Because you went through, got to see a full camp, got to see who got injured, got to see kind of where things lie, right, with the depth chart and where things are at. So I think the transfer portal needs kind of becoming clearer when you look at the nose tackle position due to the injury to Samu Taumanu-Pepe, defensive end, potentially replacing Brendan Bett, wide receiver. They've been looking for a guy with size. I think it's pretty apparent when you look in there too deep, they don't have a single guy that's over 6'1". Josh Cameron is the only wide receiver, you know, who's kind of right around that. They definitely want some more size there. Cornerback, they're looking for experience and depth. Offensive line, potentially two there, looking for some depth, some multi-year guys. And then, of course, the tight end position, which has been mentioned a little bit just due to Michael Triggs' injury and Kelsey Johnson's, both of them pretty much out all of spring. So Baylor worked with three tight ends throughout camp, basically, which was kind of funny to watch. But I think in general, just kind of understanding where Baylor is at from a roster construction standpoint and what they're trying to do during this transfer portal season to try to make sure that they check all the boxes to make sure this team is as well-rounded and as deep as possible.
Yeah, I look back to the 23 season with Blake Chapin, and I remember, you know, transfer portal was just really getting started, and the discussion was they need to get receivers, and they never did. They never addressed it, and that's something that has completely 180'd, and not receivers specifically, but the transfer portal. And being able to attack the transfer portal in two windows is massive. And so I think if you see the potential for this team and you don't capitalize on transfer portal windows, even if it's just adding depth, you're missing it. Like, you have to do it. And you talk about scholarship limits, you talk about NIL, like, you have flexibility in creating additional depth. And we don't know, and no one's really ever going to publicize roster. I mean, scholarship limits, like how many scholarships is Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech, how many are going out, but there's flexibility there. You have the opportunity to play guys who pay guys who are not even on scholarships. So we don't know exactly where Baylor sits, but we know they're trying to add guys. And you mentioned it, getting receivers on the roster that are bigger is a massive need. I actually mentioned that recently, like that could be an X factor for this offense that doesn't really have any visible holes going into the summer. You add one more guy that adds a little bit more length. That, I mean, where could this offense go? Your two, Jack Spavital. I'm looking at that position specifically of if they address that with someone capable, maybe of a 500 yard, five touchdown type of season to couple with Michael Trigg at tight end, some smaller slot speed guys, that entire offense could go to another level, even from what we saw last year.
Definitely. They need another guy who can go up and win contested catch opportunities, which right now it's basically just Josh Cameron and then Trigg, who is a tight end. So it's a little bit different,
right?
But
yeah,
they definitely need another guy like that. And that's been clear really since the winter portal. They've been looking for a guy like that, even with the additions of Kobe Prentice and Cole Wilson. Aside from that, I just think it's a very interesting time and a very interesting scenario that Baylor has. Dave Randa mentioned that now they get to be on the offensive because they were playing a bunch of defense for a lot of this transfer portal period. And now,
Know,
you kind of know where you're at, right? You know where your NIL budget is at. You know what your roster looks like. You know how many spots you have available. Now you can really dive in and figure out the guys that you want to add, figure out where the needs are, and figure out, you know, how you're going to put this roster together to, again, just make sure that you're going to compete at the highest level and that a couple of injuries here and there aren't going to completely derail a season.
Yeah, and I think the last thing I'll point out on this and toss it back to you is that the transfer portal is an inexact science after you get past a certain level. Adding guys this late, like you're, it's more of a formula of saying, okay, what do we need? Who checks boxes? There's no guarantee that anything is going to be given to you from the portal at this juncture. So I'm really anxious to see that calculus kind of go into play, that formula go into play and who they get. Because as you mentioned, you have injuries in fall camp, you have anything, this second wave of portal additions could be massive for the season.
Awesome. First episode done with the Bearcast. We are back and we're going to be back later this week. We're going to talk more spring football, of course. Hopefully we'll have a basketball episode coming up soon with Ashley Hodge as well to kind of recap what's been going on with that program. But for today, thanks for listening. This has been the Bearcast on Sick of 365.